Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot is daf Hey, and we are holding at Gufa. So really, we had already discussed this machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva. That was actually the reason that we wanted to work out the Mishnah to be consistent with Rebbe's personal svaros, which we rejected yesterday in the end. But that's because we actually did find that Rebbe was consistent in his arguing with Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Yishmael. That made sense. But anyway, so this is about a quarter of the way down, and we're getting back now to that original brisa that we had saw before, we'd seen before, that had us understanding why it was that Vene'elam, according to Rabbi Akiva, would only tell us Halomas Tuma, and Aliba the Rebbe, the two Ne'elams together, would be telling us either Halomas Tum'ah and remembering Migdash, or Halomas Migdash and remembering Tum'ah. So let's take a look again at the Braita that we already learned, Gufa. So our first idea that everybody agrees, both Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva agree, that for sure, the chiyuv of a korban olah v'yored in the case of achilas kodesh, or knisa l'migdash, in a state of tumah, is only going to affect someone who once understood that what it is that he's about to do was aser, then he forgot, did it, and that's called the ha'alama. After the first yediyah, there's ha'alama. And then, when he remembered, which is Yediya Besof, he then has to bring a korban olah v'yored. That everybody's agreed to. The only machlokas that we had between Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe was whether, when he forgot, instead of forgetting the whole thing, he didn't forget both that he's tummy and that this was the Beis HaMikdash. He could have forgotten either point, right? Either he forgot that he's tummy, or he forgot that this was the Beis HaMikdash, or he forgot it was Osir to go to the Beis HaMikdash, or he forgot that this was Bosir that was Kodesh, and so on and so forth. So the Shogeg could be made up of these different variables. The question is, which one of those variables that were forgotten would constitute a Yediyah and Ha'alama? So according to Rebbe, any one of them. That's why we ended up with Shnayim Shein Arba. You could have forgotten that your Tameh, but known that this was Kodesh, and then you went ahead and ate the Kodesh. Forgotten that you were Tameh, and known that this was the Beis HaMikdash, and walked into the Beis HaMikdash, always thinking you were doing the right thing. That would be true both according to Rebbe and according to Rebbe Akiva, that when you realized, oh my God, I was Tameh when I went in there, I was Tameh when I ate there, he would then bring his korban out of Yore. The only machlokas was where he knew perfectly well that he was tummy, but he forgot that the meat that he is about to eat is basar kodesh, and he got confused. He then eats the meat, or he forgot that the place that he's going into is kodesh, and he's not allowed to go in there as a tummy, and he walks in. Then at the end, when he remembers, is he chayav a korban olah v'yored or not? So according to Rebbe, yes, of course he is, because there's these four options, four different ways in which you could become chayev. So that was halomas tuma and zechiras migdash, halomas tuma, zechiras kedesh, or halomas migdash and zechiras tuma, or halomas kedesh and zechiras tuma. Fine. So what is that machlokas based on? Rabbi Akiva says, only the case where you forgot that you were tamei is mechayevu and oil of yore. So this first statement, that's true according to everybody. The question is, how do I know it? That's different. And because of that difference, we end up in the machlokas that I just mentioned between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi. So here is Rabbi Akiva's approach. Talmud lomar, v'ne'alam, shnei pa'amin. So as we saw earlier, that we've got the mention of Vene'elam twice, and according to Rabbi Akiva, what that means is that Vene'elam, I would have thought, if it just said Vene'elam, So then I would have thought that, you know what? That means that he actually, this is Rabbi Akiva Shita, not that he actually once knew in Vinelam, but that he never knew. That's what I would have thought. And therefore, when the Torah repeats Vinelam, since the first time it was the idea of Vinelam, Vuhutame, which was something that was very clear, what it was that you forgot was the Vuhutame. So then, when it says, V'ne'alam v'hu yada v'yashem, the idea over there would be to tell me that the ha'aloma aforementioned was not ha'aloma that you didn't know from the beginning, but rather to repeat that there had to have been a period in which you knew and then you forgot. So the v'hu yada, according to Rabbi Akiva, is actually, the way to explain it is, the first Vinelam is fine, you're chayev, you didn't know, you brought a shogeg. But then when the pasuk continues, it means to say, you know, when I said Vinelam, what I meant was v'hu yada, so that the v'hu yada comes before the Vinelam. And that would mean that the only one pasuk of Vinelam, essentially, one case, which one? Ne'alam v'hu tameh. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva has no option to use an extra Vinelam, because there is no extra Vinelam, to tell me, or if he forgot that it was the Beis HaMikdash or Kodesh, you see. Masha Enkin, according to Rebbe, the word Vinelam itself means you must have once known and then forgot, because otherwise you don't use the word Vinelam, Ne'alam Vedabai. Where do I find that word with the other Isuri? So therefore, Rebbe says, I don't understand why you need that second Vinelam to teach me v'hu yada v'ne'alam. Eino tzarich. Harei omer v'ne'alam. Doesn't the word ne'alam itself imply michlal shiyada? So if that's the case, it means he already knows. Then when it says in the next pasuk v'hu yada, and again it says the v'ne'alam, so then that means v'hu yada, there were two things. There were two things, in fact, shtei yediyot. Then why does it mention v'ne'alam again? To tell me that either one of those yediyot, either the yediyah that he was tameh, was v'ne'alam, or the yediyah that he's not supposed to be going into this place or eating this meat, was forgotten. And in either case, you would be chayev, a korban, olah v'yored, l'chayev, on either ha'aleim tumah v'ha'aleim mikdash on the one hand, or on ha'aleim tumah on the other hand. Okay, so we read that before. But now we'd like to look into it a little bit, because Rebbe was convinced that the word v'ne'alam means you must have known and forgotten. I'm not sure I understand that. Can't v'ne'alam simply mean my mashma? I mean, maybe v'ne'alam simply means that he didn't know, meaning he never knew. Amar Rava, if you want to say that there was something that was hidden from a person, what you say is aluma mimenu. The thing was not known to him. But when you use the word v'ne'elam, it means that something happened inside of you to make it now concealed. Because if it was always aluma, then it wasn't suddenly v'ne'elam. So the concept of v'ne'elam itself, says Rebbe, means always. It was known, and then it was forgotten. Omalei Abaye, that's not true. What? It's unbelievable, these guys. They don't let up. So what is the meaning? Where do we see that that would be true? If according to you, how are you going to understand Parshat Sota? Boy, are you going to have a rough time, Rebbe. Because you know what it says over there? It says over there that a man's wife was Mal Bo Mal, V'shachav ish ota shechvat zera. Somebody's been sleeping with his wife. V'ne'alam me'ine isha. Now, does that mean, according to you, Rebbe, her husband once knew about it, but he figured, what the heck, you know. And then one day he decided that, over alav ruachina, and now he's going to get upset about it. And now he's going to tell her, I don't want you hanging out with that guy anymore. But he knew the whole time that she's been committing adultery. I mean, is that what it means? It can't mean that. Because according to you, if Bichlal Davayoda Miikora, Iaviyoda Mibot Kalamaya, the din is that if you are, the husband is engaged in sexual wrongdoing, then he can't go and claim to his wife that she's no good because she's doing the same thing. That's terrible. So therefore, it'd just be hypocrisy. So if he knew that she had been committing adultery with this guy, and he continues to keep her as a wife and continues to relate to her, then he is doing an iser because she is asura to him, and he can't come along with the moral high ground and say, I don't want you hanging around with that guy. And therefore, there wouldn't be any din of sota at all. So the idea is, HaTanya says beferish, that only the pasuk says, v'nikaha ish mi'avon, if the husband is himself clear of any kind of chet, then ha'isha hitisat avonah, then the woman, in having committed adultery, will bear the burden of her own sin, right? But that means only bizman sha'ish mnuke ame avon is the mayim botkim et ishto. But if the man is not any good, then eina mayim botkim et ishto. So therefore, it cannot mean what you're saying. Ne'alame ne'isha obviously does not mean he once knew, okay? Next question I have for you, says Abaye, by Torah. So in Iyov, it defines the incredible nature of Torah. And it says over there, V'ne'alma me'nei kochai, u'me'of ha'shamayim nistara. So the pasuk Iyov is defining what the tremendous breadth of Torah is. And he's saying it is so broad that nothing living, nor anything that flies in the heavens, including the malachim, it's hidden from all of them. Now, when you say v'ne'elma, does that mean that there were those that once knew the total meaning of Torah and they forgot? Obviously not. V'aktiv lo yada enosh erka. Nobody ever, this is the same parak, Iyov at first said, no one ever understood the breath of Torah. So how do you say that when it says, it means it was once known and forgotten? That doesn't make any sense. Elom, Rabbi, I'll tell you. What Rebbe is saying over here is that yediat beit rabo shma yedia. When we're talking about over here, he once knew, but he forgot. That doesn't mean that he once recognized that what it is that he knows is relevant. What it means is that he learned this halacha when he was a kid. So there he was in first grade, and he learned that asheretz is matame someone, right? Okay, so he knows perfectly well that asheretz is matame. He also is well aware of the fact that he picked up a dead sheretz this morning. Okay, so what doesn't he know? This is a Rashi. My Rebbe used to make so much of this Rashi about the nature of human consciousness. And that was that Rashi says, to me, these words are very meaningful. So I'll just quote them for you because they were taught to me like again and again and again. Okay. Lo hitbonen lesum alibo shenitma. He knows everything he needs to know. He just has no idea that that means that he's tummy. What? He knows the sheretz is tummy, and he knows the sheretz, he touched the sheretz, but it never occurs to him, oh, does that have something to do with me? That's called das. You know everything as an abstraction, but it has absolutely no meaning to you. Now, how many times does that happen to us? That's all the time. Now, that's the difference between chokhmah and das, in the end. It had to have made a difference to you. That's like the whole point of Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance, right? That's the point. Yeah, you know, and so on, but you have absolutely no sense of what it is that you're doing. You know if you turn the screw too far, you're going to strip the screw. Yes. And you know that you have to turn the screw correctly. And you strip the screw. Like I say, women drivers. Sorry, Dvara. You're the best if you're here. All right. So in that case, this marvelous Rashi, so what it means is, says Abaye, that everybody has a yediyah b'tchila, But it's not a yediyah that is a kasha. How could you say it's the type of yediyah nobody ever knew Torah? Well, of course, nobody ever knew Torah. I'm not saying v'nelma means that you had a full understanding or even a recognition of the implications. I'm saying v'nelma means that there was some theoretical knowledge of the issue lechatchila. That's all that I'm saying. The same thing is true about sota. When we're talking about sota, all that we mean is that the husband always had a sense that he did not like his wife hanging around that guy. Obviously, it doesn't mean that he knew that he was usher to sleep with her anymore and that they've actually committed adultery. He's just uneasy with it. So that's the equivalent of yediat beit rabo. And this is a very important gavi concept because it occurs in other areas as well. Is yediat beit rabo shema yedia or lo shema yedia? So the word lo goes into brackets, gavi dear. So that's what we're saying over here, according to Rebbe. And therefore, there's no kasha from the way in which v'nelma is used. Omele Rav Papa Labaye, but wait a second. If you're claiming that yediat beit, now this next piece of Gemara is absolutely, to people who live in these times, is astonishing. Look at this kasha. Omele Rav Papa Labaye, so how do you explain our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Ein ba yediya betchila, v'yesh ba yediya besof, that it's possible for there to be a case where somebody didn't know. But if you're explaining that it simply means yediyas beis rabo, there's not one five-year-old in the world who didn't learn that a sheretz is metame. So how could this possibly be? There's no such case. Can you imagine? It was absolutely impossible for the Gemara to entertain that there could be a child in the world that had grown up without learning Parsha Shrotzim. Of course everybody knows the sheretz is metame. Oh, man. And what is the solution? Yes, there is a solution. Children that had been captured by the Romans and taken away and had never been exposed to any Jewish community. So, yeah, that's called mashkachava betinok shenishba levein hanochrim, which means that essentially anybody living in Manhattan or Teaneck or whatever, they're essentially is that astonishing, right? Well, anyway, it certainly gives you a sense of the way things have changed. Sort of like the Ramban's asking, how could anybody be lost in the desert and not know when Shabbos is? Don't you know when it's Shabbos? Anyway, so moving on. So that concludes the part of the Mishnah that discusses the Shnayim Shein Arba in terms of the Ha'alamot. Let's move on to the next piece, Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shnayim Shein Arba. Now, the thing is that in the Mishnah in Shabbos, it doesn't say Shnayim Shein Arba. It actually comes out with eight Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim, and Shnayim Shein Arba Bachutz. So over there, it seems to be talking about eight different things. Two ways that you can bring something in from Rosh Hasharab into Rosh HaYochid, and two ways that you can take something out from Rosh HaYochid to Rosh Hasharab, each one of which is actually talking about four different cases. So you'll recall that the four, we don't really need to go into the details, but I'm sure you'll recall that the primary cases, those are the cases that we spoke about yesterday. The person is standing inside and brings something from the inside to the outside, or the person is standing outside, brings something from the inside to the outside, or vice versa. The person is standing outside to bring something from the outside, outside, bring something from outside to inside, or is standing inside and bring something from outside to inside. So we have two yitziyot and two achnasot, and there's really four, and the four are that the one who's standing inside, remember, we always call him the balabayit, he does take something from inside, he puts his hand outside, but the ani takes it out of his hand. So he did an anakira without a hanocha, or we could have a case in which he did a hanocha, but not an akira. So if the ani takes it out of his hand and sorry, Hanocha, not an Akira. The Oni takes it out of his hands, puts it down, but he never did the Akira from the place, or vice versa. So we ended up with 8 different cases over there, but only 4 of them are Chayev. So how come in the Mishnah and Shabbos, we talk about 4, that 2 that are 4 in and 2 that are 4 out? So Mishnah Hachar Tanish Taim Shein Arba, and that's like it. Mishnah Hatam Tanish Taim Shein Arba Vifnim, Vishnaim Shein Arba Bechutz. And the obvious answer is, if you're talking about Masechet Shabbat, where there the whole focus, Ikar Shabbatu, that's the focus on Shabbat. So we want to mention both the Avot cases and the Toladot cases, because the only case that it says in the Torah is Al Tetzei Ish Mimekomo. Okay, so that's Yitziot HaShabbat, but not Hachnasot. So we only talk about the cases of Yitziah here, because it's Lav Iker Shabbat. But over there, we talk about all of the cases. The cases of the Avot, which are all the different types of Yitziot HaShabbat, and the Toldot, which are all the different types of Knisot HaShabbat, which are viewed as a Tolda of the Knisot. Mashenkin here, the main focus is on Shavuos, and it's not the Iker Shabbos. So we only talk about the Avot, which are only the Yitziot, but we don't talk about the Toladot. That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. If we're talking about Avot over here, then we don't have Shnayim Shein Arba. What do we mean by Avot? Yitziot? But there's only 2 cases that you're chayim on the Yitziot, which is the Ani Omed Bachutz, and he takes it out from inside, brings it outside, or the Bala Bayit is Omid Bifnim, and he picks it up inside, takes it out, pushes it outside, and puts it down. Those are the only 2 cases. And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, yeah, but there's the other 2 cases where one does only a Akira and no Hanocha, or a Hanocha and not an Akira. And that can be done either by the Bala Bayit or by the Ani, which gives us 4, right? No, because you're not chayev on that. How do I know you're not chayev? Because in the parsha of Chataot, what does it say? Ba'asota achat me'ela. Achat means that he has to do the whole thing. Asota, he does the whole malacha, not part of the malacha. If he only did the hanocha, not the akira, not the hanocha, the malacha does not consist of moving something from the airspace of one rishus to another. So that's not called Ahotzah. So if you want to tell me that that's okay, when it says over here that there's 2 which are 4, it means 2 which are chayev on, but there's another 2 that you're not chayev on. No, I already showed you that that's not a possible explanation of the Mishnah because of the fact that they have to be similar. The cases all have to be similar. And the Marot Negaim case does not have a concept of an Issa D'Rabbanan. All of the Marot Negaim are actual D'Oraisa Marot Negaim. So Ma'atan Kula L'Chiyuva, just like over there, you would be chayef to bring your Korbanot if you're a Mitzora, no matter what one of those 4 marot you have, it would have to mean the same thing here. You'd be chayev a garman chatas on all of them. So then you can't tell me we're only listing avot and not toldot. So af hocha, it would have to be kula l'chiyuva. That's not a good answer. Okay. Says Rav Papa, you're right. You're right. There's a simple answer, though. They're in Masechet Shabbat, where the focus is on Shabbat. So the Mishnah is happy to get every last one of the cases, both chiyuvim of korbanos cases and cases that are not chiyuvim. So there it says, toni chiyuv yupture. But here, the focus is not on Shabbat. And therefore, it lists only cases that you would be chiyuv on, and not cases that you would be putter on. So the 4 cases which involved doing either an Akira or Hanocha on either Hotzah or Hachnasa, those are not mentioned in our Masechet because we're not interested in talking about the details of cases where you would not be Chayev. We're only interested, as we said at the beginning of the Masechet, we're only interested in interpreting the Isuri HaTorah in a way that expands them from 1 thing into 2 or more. And that was following along Masechet Makot's ability to define 2 separate Chiyuvei Malkas for either one of your Peot or 5 Chiyuvei Malkas on any one of the Peot HaZakan and so on. But But I don't understand. What are the cases? You're saying we're only going to list the cases that you're chayav on, right? Okay, fine. So let's talk about the cases that you're chayav on. The cases that you're chayav on, it says beferish, yitziot ha-shabbat. Can you tell me how many cases are you chayav on yitziot of Shabbat? There's only two, because the other two are not yitziot. The other two are hachnasot. When you're standing outside, you take something inside, right? Or you're standing inside to bring something inside from outside. Okay, but those are outside. How about the other two? Those are hachnasot, but the Mishnah wasn't talking about hachnasot. The Mishnah said yitziot. No. But what do you mean? It says yitziot. How can you include hachnasot in yitziot? Ravashi, because you know perfectly well by now, the Tana calls hachnasa hotza'ah. Obviously, mimai. Because that's the Mishnah in Shabbos that says beferish. Hamotzi mirishut l'rishut chayav. Now, what does that mean? Only in one direction. From one reshut to the other reshut, in any direction. And it's talking about, obviously, therefore, milo askin in the koma ayaliluye. Doesn't that include taking from one reshus, meaning a reshus harabim, and bringing it in? And it's still calling it yitziot hamotzi. So you see that the word yitziyah does not mean necessarily going outdoors. Well, no, maybe the Mishnah's mean really means that only if he brings from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, maybe it doesn't mean from any Rishus to any Rishus. Well, if it didn't mean from any Rishus, then it should have said, Im kenisni hamotzim Rishut HaYachid Rishut HaRabim. Why does it say Rishut Rishut? Obviously, Rishut Rishut means from any type of Rishut into a different type of Rishut. I don't care whether it's Afilu Mi Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid. Nonetheless, the Mishnah clearly refers to it as Hamotzi. So you see that Hotza'ah includes Hachnasa. Why is that true? Because it's a very important word to keep in mind when you're talking about Yitziot HaShabbat. People make the mistake of thinking that Yitziot HaShabbat means carrying, but it doesn't mean carrying. Because if all you did was carry, you wouldn't be chayav. If you never stopped carrying, you would not be chayav on Shabbos, even if you carried the entire day, in and out of every rishos, and you never sat down and never stopped. Why? Because it's only transferring that is meant. And that is only where something was firmly in one place, and now is deposited firmly in another place, and that's called akira vehanacha, not carrying. In which case, when we say hotza'ah, what we mean is violent removal. That's what we mean. You took something out of its place. I don't care where that place was. That place could have been a Rishus HaYachid, it could have been a Rishus HaRabim. But if you take it out of its place and you set it down in another place, that's why we specifically use that word yitziot. It was ripped from its place and set down somewhere else. So Tana kol akirat chefetz bimekomo, taking out a place, ripping it out, so to speak, akirat, from its place, that is what we're talking about when we say hotza'ah. But the hotza'ah per se is not the chiyuv. Lovely and extremely important to remember when you use those loose words. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, which is simply not true. Omer Avina, you know what? The first Mishnah in Shabbos, you're going to such roundabout proofs that Yetziah includes Achnosa. For heaven's sake, read the first Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat, okay? We have to bring me a Mishnah from Daf Ayin something, please. Mazisinami Deka. Yetziot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. And what's the first case that the Mishnah starts to explain? It explains a case of hachnasa. The Baal Habayit is omed b'fnim, and he brings something in from the hand of the ani. Or the ani puts something in to the rishus of the Baal Habayit. That's hachnasa. So how in the world can you justify saying Yitziyot HaShabbat and then explaining Hakhnasa? You don't have to look any further than that. Shema mina that the Tana uses the word Yitziyot HaShabbat to include Hakhnasa, Shema mina. Now Rava explained how the Mishnah is talking about Yitziyot. Rava says what the Tana was referring to with the word of Yitziyot is the concept of the different rishuyot. So a yitziyot, meaning a place where something could be having a definition of a space of its own, is a rishut. And therefore what it's saying is, rishuyot shabbat shtayim, there are basically two types of rishuyot, and there are four ways of being mechayev on movement from one of the rishuyot to the other, depending on whether you're an ani omed bifnim or a balabayit omed bifnim, b'chutz, balabayit omed b'chutz, I can't tell it. This old age stuff is no fun. A balabayit omed bifnim or an ani omed b'chutz. But what the yitzia is referring to is not the ripping out of a place, but place itself. Moving on now. So we finally get to the parsha that we just read this week. And now we're going to get into the details of the Marot Negaim. And these Marot Negaim are two, but those two are really four. Okay, so you remember the Pasuk of Ishyebit or Bisro, Se'et, Baheret, Sapachat, Baheret or Se'et, Sapachat, now Sapachat is not the name of a Mar'eh. So what we understand, we're going to go into the details later, is that you've got two different things. Adam ki ebo or b'saro, the Se'et o Sapachat means that there's a secondary Sapachat. We're going to bring a raya from Shmuel Anavi in the description of the terrible Nevi'ahs that he gave to Eli HaKohen, that Sapachat means secondary. So that means that you've got a secondary mar'eh. So that means when it says se'et, it means a se'et o sapachat, or something secondary to the se'et, o baheret, which is something which obviously means something very clear, very bright, bayir, which we say bayiru bashakim, the hayaba or b'sarol negat sarat. So that means that the pasuk has mentioned two different types of mar'ot, Se'et or Baheret, and it mentions a concept of a Sapachat. Now that Sapachat could be understood as a general secondary Mar'eh to any of the named Mar'ot, Se'et or Baheret, or it could be understood as there being a specific Tolda to a Se'et and a specific Tolda to a Baheret. Now that would make a major difference in how to understand the Pasuk. Why? Because if the Pasuk would insist on naming the specific secondary Mar'eh, so then that would mean that it's creating sets again. There's a set of Se'et plus those Mar'ot that are similar to Se'et, and then there's a set of Baheret plus those lesser Mar'ot that are similar to Baheret. So remember, when we talk about lesser, we're talking about the extent of the brightness of the actual Mar'eh. So that concept of the brightness is also a way in which we measure the different reflectiveness of the different planets, where we talk about, or moons, where we talk about moons that are more or less reflective. That is similar to the idea that we have over here. How much light is reflected by this Mar'eh? So the brightest of them is the Baheret, and the secondary is to that. When I say, I shouldn't use the word secondary because that sounds like a second to that, would be the Se'et. But since there are Sapachats, again, there may be a family of colors that are Baheret plus something slightly less than the brightness of a Baheret, and then there's a different family of Se'et and something less than the brightness of the Se'et. If they are families, then they would only be mitstaref one to another member of the family. We're going to see why that makes a great difference in how to understand the nature of the Marba, Mar Shnaim Shein Arba in the Marot Negaim. So, the Mishnah in Negaim, the opening Mishnah in Negaim, seems to immediately declare itself on this issue. Why? Because it says, Marot Negaim, two of which are mentioned in the Torah, are actually four. And what are they? Well, going from the brightest to the least bright, we start off with the Baheret. The Baheret has the highest reflectivity, and that is, it is as bright as snow. Next to that, second to it, comes the color of Shniela, which means secondaries, I should say, not second to it. Secondary to it is white, like the color of the whitewash of the Beis HaMikdash that they used to do every year, which was extremely white, but not white like snow. And that is called Shniela. Now note that the word Shniela means the secondary in its family. The Se'ed is brighter than the Sida Heichal, but not as bright as the Baheret, which is Shelig. So the Se'et is Ketzemer Lavan. Secondary to it, meaning its Tolda, is like the krum, the membrane of an egg. That means after you peel the egg, you get the inner membrane. The inner membrane is always white. It doesn't matter how the shell looks, but the inner membrane is a lower level of reflectivity, and therefore the order of the reflectivity is snow, wool, seed, and egg membrane, right? The order of the Mishnah is, however, snow with its secondary, which is the third level of brightness, and that was Kesida Echal. And then the second level of brightness, that was the second Mara, which was called Se'et, that was Semer Lavan, white wool, and it has its secondary, which is the fourth, and that is the Krum Beitza. So that means the order in the Mishnah is 1 and 3, 2 and 4, right? Now, the reason that this is going to cause us problems is because it insists on families. And that seems to make our Mishnah not like Rabbi Akiva. So this is what Rabbi Hanina points out. Man Tana Marot Negaim. Who was that Man D'Omar that's got a Mishnah that lists 1 to 3 and 2 to 4? Well, it can't be Rabbi Akiva. Because if it would be Rabbi Akiva, we've got an impossible situation. Oh, gosh. De'i Rabbi Akiva. Oh, my God. If it is Rabbi Akiva, so since Rabbi Akiva's Shita, which we will see how we know, since Rabbi Akiva holds that all of the Marot can be mitztaref, that's because there is a minimum shiur to a nega. If you don't have a minimum shiur, so how would you be able to be metame somebody? So since you've got to have that minimum shear, which we'll be talking about, the only way to have that minimum shear is if you don't have enough of one of the colors to actually be a nega, so then you can use a combination of that color with its next nearest color. But you can't jump two steps in order to get a shear of tzaras. Now that means that our Mishnah is going to be a disaster according to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, since he holds it has to be only the one color next to it, now Sid HaHechal, which is color number 3, is not going to be a nega, ever. Why? Because let's say that you have not enough of one color, and you want to make it a kigris, which is the shear, together with another one of the colors. So bahari man litzarfe. Tell me which other color you want to combine it with, okay? You're talking about color number 3. Remember, seed hayichalis, color number 3. Again, color number 1, snow. Color number 2, wool. Color number 3, seed. Color number 4, egg membrane. Okay, so color number 3 of seed hayichal cannot be mitzarif with anything, according to Rabbi Akiva. Because what would you say? You want to combine it with, after all, it is, according to the Mishnah, a tolda of the Baharat, because one combines with 3. But according to Rabbi Akiva, 1 and 3 are 2 steps apart. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says you can't combine it with its own av. Do you want to combine it with the next similar color? Which would mean the next one would be wool. That's 8. How can you combine something from a different family? It's genetically incompatible. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're listing Maros and the Goyim, which are supposedly Shnayim Shein Arba, but there is no way to be mitzarif them at all. And all part of this Mishnah is the idea that all of these Arba Marot are actually able to combine with each other. So how do you explain the Mishnah Liba to Rabbi Akiva? Hey, wait a second over here. Why are you only asking about case color number 3? You could have asked the same exact question about color number 4, which is krum betza, and color number 4, what's it going to be able to be mitzarif with the shear of a kigris, huh? Shall we combine it with its own av? What's its own av? Color number 2, which is the se'et. But you can't combine, according to Rabbi Akiva, color number 2 with color number 4. Or I should say brightness number, we should really call them brightness because they're not different colors. Brightness level 2 does not relate to brightness level 4, despite the fact that it's tolda. Though you can't do that because there's always sid. Sid is color number 3, and I mean brightness number 3, and brightness number 3 is actually the one that is ikasid. That's between 4 and 2. Usually, 3 comes before, between 2 and 4. And therefore, it's 2. No way to combine it. Shall we be mitzarif it with the closest one, 1 level of brightness above it? You can't, because they're different families. The Mishnah insisted on giving different families. And you could have asked that question also. Why did you ask only from brightness level 3? Brightness level 4, according to Rabbi Akiva, also cannot combine. No, says the Gemara. Hi, my, please. There's no comparison between the two situations. I understand that if I didn't have a problem with color number 3, I would have been unable to ask anything on Rabbi Akiva from color number 4. Because it's true that color number 4 is, in fact, 2 steps beneath its own av of se'et, Rabbi Akiva would not have said that that particular combination is not a combination because the Torah made it a combination. And Rabbi Akiva would be made it that since the Torah said specifically, Rachmona Omar, vilaseit vilasapachat, okay? So what does vilaseit vilasapachat ulubayarat mean? That means that we're putting together se'et with the sapachat, beferish. So in repeating that, when the Torah goes over all of the dinim of the cases together, it says, zotoratam, to all the way to villa, se'et, villa, sapachat, villa, baheret. We just had that on Shabbos. Why did it repeat it? To tell me that se'et goes together with sapachat, despite the fact that it violates the rule that you are not able to go 2 steps of brightness at a time. Okay, so that I agree to. But I do have a problem of the other case, You know, since it says the seid v'sapachat, sapachat tefila l'seid, the Torah is saying, look, I don't know what the situation is. It may be many steps away. In fact, it's two steps away. But ava gav de menachat aminei tuva could be as many steps as you want away. The Torah says that these two are related as ava tolda. So there's nothing to do about it. It's definitely mitztarev. But seid ha'echal, it never said in the Torah, se'et sapachat Baheret, sapachat, did it? It never attached the sapachat to a baheret directly to repeat the idea that, well, I don't care how many steps away from the baheret it is, it's still going to be mitztarif with the baheret. It won't be mitztarif with the baheret. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, we've still got a problem. Because even though now, according to the Mishnah, I mean, once we've now understood that the fact that something is a tolda, and the Mishnah is insisting that there is a tolda to Baheret as well, but it doesn't mean that they can combine because we don't have that beferisha nekuda in which it repeats the connection of sapachat to Baheret. And therefore, I only have the problem with Rabbi Akiva once I talk about level number three, because there I've got no way to combine it the way that the Mishnah says, in which there's supposed to be a direct connection between Shniyala, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it is not going to combine with Shniyala, even though it could combine, according to him, with now that we're understanding that there's a different sense of what the Ovis and Toldos relationship is. There's no longer the problem we had before. Before we said it can't combine at all. But over here, it can still combine with level four. Level three would be able to combine with level four because according to Rabbi Akiva, the sense of sapachat is a general sense of sapachat. And therefore, even though this Mishnah is insisting that we split them up, but they're still both sapachats and included under that one sapachat. So we don't have the same question that we had before. But we do have the question of how we can claim a Baheret is a family in which it has a Shniyala of Sidaichal, and it can't combine with its own family. So what's the point? The Mishnah no longer makes sense, according to Rabbi Akiva. Ela machvarta masnis in de lok Rabbi Akiva. So as it works out, we're forced to say that now that we have a better understanding, this Mishnah is not going according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that the colors need to be in order. Now, I've been driven crazy because I forgot the word for reflectivity. Moshe Andel, you know what the word is, right? What's the word? Adibo? I can't remember. Gosh. How do we measure the reflectivity of the moon? What's it called? Darn it, I can't remember the word. Come on, nobody here is... Moshe, you know, Gavi, you know, come on, all of our physics people know where we're, yeah.
And not reflectance?
Oh, nah, go away.
Luminescence?
No! God! What? Where is the lion cub? Ari, will you get in here, please? What's it called? Okay, go away. I don't know. I know what it says. It's albedo, right? Albedo, that's the word. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay. So it's the albedo. That's the correct term. Because the albedo is the ability of surfaces to reflect light.